It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big day across Scottish football. Celtic are looking to keep their winning run going when they host St Johnstone. Hearts can go top with a win against Dundee, while United will be hoping to keep the pressure on when they welcome Motherwell. And if there is a change at the summit, Rangers can reclaim top spot when they travel to St Mirren tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this afternoon, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Celtic go double digit today in terms of the number of league games played, but the objective is to come within a single point of Rangers when they play St Johnstone. That would be a tribute to the job that Ange Postecoglou has done in a short space of time at Celtic Park. However, it is undoubtedly crisis time for another first season manager in the Premiership. Stephen Glass has failed to win any of Aberdeen's last 10 games. He's got Hibs at Pittodrie today, a draw or a defeat, and he equals the Dons' worst ever negative run. Talk your way out of that one.
Yeah, what a big fixtures today, and I'm looking forward to it. Hearts have the opportunity to stay unbeaten and go top of the league at home to Dundee, and you probably fancy them. Celtic, a chance to continue their good form at home to St Johnstone, and probably interesting team news to come there. Hugh's right, the big one, Aberdeen against Hibs. Stephen Glass under an awful lot of pressure, and he could wish for an easier game than the Hibs at home. So an interesting afternoon.
I think there's a lot of teams under a bit of pressure. Aberdeen, as you rightly say there, Mark, but Ross County looking for their first victory today. They'll fancy their chances against Livingston, but they go up there with a lot of confidence. We're looking at Aberdeen, Hibs, we're looking at Celtic, St Johnstone, and I think we've got a cracker at Tannadice. Dundee United sitting proudly in third against Motherwell.
Thought we were going to hear from Alex Ray there. Can't hear him. I don't know, some sort of, this is the best he's ever sounded. We'll hear from him in just a second, I'm sure of that, no doubt about it. Let's, whilst we fire up Alex Ray, whilst we stick 10 pence in the back of him, let's go to Celtic Park and get team news ahead of Celtic St Johnstone with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, as you say, Celtic looking to make it four wins on the bounce here today as things look to have clicked more into place over this recent spell for Ange Postecoglou's side. Two good away victories in the league, followed up by that 2-0 win over Ferencvaros on Tuesday that, in all honesty, could have been about four or five if they had their shooting boots on. They'll be confident as well that they can create plenty of chances here today. Josip Juranovic returns from injury as well. That'll be a boost, and it's a first start for Yorgos Yakimakis as well after three substitute appearances for him. As for St Johnstone, well, they've had many high points under Callum Davidson so far, but last weekend was definitely a low one, extremely poor in that showing against Livingston. 3-0 loss. They'll need to be careful they don't start getting cut adrift of the seven teams above them, who are all in a very tight group. As a team news, as I hinted earlier on, out go Adam Montgomery and Lael Abada, in come Josip Juranovic and Yorgos Yakimakis. The interesting part of that, it looks as if Kyogo Furuhashi will probably play out wide for Celtic today, so it'll be Joe Hart in goal for them. The back four, Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Carl Starfelt and Josip Juranovic. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Tom Rogic and David Turnbull, with Kyogo Furuhashi and Jota either side of Yorgos Yakimakis. The substitutes for Celtic today, Bain, Welsh, Beaton, Montgomery, Johnson, Abada and Ayeti. Still no St Johnstone team for us so far, but I'll get you that shortly.
OK, let's try and hear from Alex Ray, second time. Lucky if that's such a thing, Alex.
Don't. You've absolutely killed me. You've put me in this little cupboard in the back of the studio. I could only see Dazzler at the back as well. Absolutely ridiculous. But listen, some great games. I think the one up at Aberdeen for me is most certainly going to be the game of the day, Gordon. Tam Court's got a chance to get second spot. Celtic got to continue to impressive home form. But the game of the day in the Championship for me is Raith versus Inverness, first v second.
Yep, lots to look forward to on a Saturday afternoon. Mark Wilson, what did you make of that Celtic team news?
Yeah, interesting in the respect Yakimakis is in, and I think the Celtic fans will be looking forward to seeing him. But as long as it doesn't take anything away from the main man, Kyogo's performances, I think everyone will agree that Kyogo was most effective through the middle. We found that out at Ibrox when Ange Postecoglou admitted after the game that he maybe lost a bit from his performance by playing him out wide. After that, he's continued to play through the middle and score goals, and it looks this afternoon that he's shifting out to a wider area to let Yakimakis in. If Yakimakis scores a couple of goals in the first half, no one will care. But at least Ange Postecoglou knows if it doesn't go right, he's got the option of changing it pretty quickly. And I think that's where Celtic can see the positives in things now. You look at their bench, it's a lot stronger. There's a lot more game changers on that bench. If it's not going right, he has options to change it. And as I said, the Celtic fans will go along looking for a similar performance to that they've seen on Tuesday night.
That'll be interesting this afternoon, Mark, because you rightly say you touched on the Rangers game when he moved Furuhashi to the wide area. I went along to Celtic Park, really looking the first time to see him live, and he was playing wide in the left and was not effective at all. So that's two games that he's played out of position, what I call out of position. But you've got to get the main man in, the striker in. Giakoumakis has got to get an opportunity. I think he fancies it at home today, especially the way they're playing. I'm not surprised Abada's left out the side. So it's a very powerful Celtic side, and they'll be looking to continue that run. And I expect them to get 3 points.
I saw Celtic on Tuesday against Ferencvaros, and everyone knows about the magnificent goal created by Jota, scored by Furuhashi. He then, having lit up Celtic Park, had to go out wide to accommodate Giakoumakis, and Furuhashi for the remainder of the game did not look like the player who had been on the park on his own, minus Giakoumakis. So Celtic have to discover today if the two can be accommodated. I know that Giakoumakis has come in with a big reputation after a season in Holland in which he was the top goal scorer in the league, but you cannot have Furuhashi's the potency diminished by going out wide. So maybe it'll work like a dream, and Ange Postecoglou will be proved correct. I think he is correct to leave Abada out. He's still very, very young. He is adapting to a new country. He did hit the ground running. He's now hit a lull. I think it's right to give him a rest.
Yeah, some interesting team news then from the Celtic perspective. Giakoumakis starts, Furuhashi perhaps accommodated out wide, Juranovic back into the team. Let's go back there and get the St Johnstone team with Andrew.
Yeah, the big news coming out of St Johnstone is that Liam Gordon is back in the starting lineup. That'll be a huge boost for Callum Davidson today. So it's Xander Clark who starts in goal. The back three, Effie Ambrose, Liam Gordon and Jamie McCart. It'll be James Brown and Callum Booth, the wing-backs. Cammy McPherson, Craig Bryson and David Wotherspoon, the three-man midfield, with Glenn Middleton supporting Chris Kane up top. The substitutes for them today, Parrish, Devine, Muller, Craig, Crawford, May and Vertanen.
I said this on last night's show, Mark Wilson, you feel like St Johnstone have earned the right not to be written off. Why would you write St Johnstone off after last season and what they can produce? That said, it's obviously been a bit more of an up and down campaign so far, and I don't think anyone expected them to lose so heavily against Livingston at home last week.
No, I don't think so. But I think you're seeing a totally different or a much different St Johnstone side from last year. You know, no one expecting much of them. They found a way of playing under Callum Davidson that was effective, maybe not pretty, but got the job done, got the rewards at the end of the season, and they deserved it. But it's been slightly different. I think teams are finding a different way of coming up against them. That's what happens when you're a successful team. One season, the others don't underestimate you as much. They find different ways of playing against you. Sometimes they sit in and hit you in the counter-attack, and that's what happened last week. And to follow that up with a trip to Celtic Park against this front line is going to be a tall order for Callum Davidson.
What was said about the run coming up you, that Celtic had to go to Pittodrie and had to go to Fir Park and had to play Ferencvaros? Now that they've answered those three questions, do you detect they'll go into this one in a much better place than they perhaps would have a few weeks ago?
I detected a highly optimistic atmosphere among the Celtic fans on Tuesday afternoon for the Ferencvaros game. Unfortunately for Ange Postecoglou, every game has to be a test of him until he can put serious pressure on Rangers. Now, if Celtic win today, they go to within 1 point of Rangers. There was a time when they played Aberdeen a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the possibility of Celtic falling into the bottom six. So it's a big afternoon for Ange Postecoglou. The sense of optimism can be heightened if Celtic win at home against St Johnstone. You're quite right to say that St Johnstone deserve respect. However, Celtic, in the mood they're in right now, have to think that they can win that game.
Okay, let's hear from the manager then.
They had a fantastic year last year, and I kind of, you know, followed them through their early sort of European efforts where I still thought they were impressive. They're a difficult team to play against. They make it very hard for any opposition they play. So it'd be a good test for us. we've sort of started with the last three games and sort of the last two games after the international break with two difficult games playing away from home and obviously a European game. It's another challenge for us. Being at home at Celtic Park, our form's been really good this year. Performances have been really good.
Let's go back around the rest of the grounds. A few contenders for game of the day this afternoon, you have to say. We'll give Roger Hanna a shout. He's had to travel the furthest. Is that fair?
He's been
on the road. He's been on the road all
Dingwall.
Morning. No, Pittodrie, not quite as far. He's up at Pittodrie for the visit of Hibs, Roger Hanna. And a big game, maybe not quite for the high flying reasons that the Aberdeen fans would have hoped. Oh, we can't hear from Roger Hanna either. Let's try Tynecastle, Hearts against Dundee with David Friel.
Yeah, huge game here, Gordon. I noticed the Hearts players helped launch the third season of American TV series Succession this week. I'm not sure if that's one of the Dazzler's favourites, but they're at the centre of a few major storylines today at Tynecastle. Put simply, Hearts will go top of the Premiership, as you said, if they beat Dundee today, which would be massive in itself. They're currently a point behind Rangers, could be too clear by 5pm tonight. And if they did need any more motivation, then this is always a bit of a good match against Dundee these days. Nobody at Tynecastle, even though James McPake says it's not an issue, nobody at Tynecastle has forgotten the Dundee missing email controversy that ultimately led to Hearts relegation in 2020. Still a lot of bad blood there. The two sides did meet in the Championship last season, but crucially those games were played behind closed doors, so you'd expect the Hearts fans to make their feelings clear to the Dundee players, and they also have Lee Griffiths to welcome now. Former Hibs striker, former Celtic striker, he's a good record at Tynecastle, but he always gets pelters here, and you would expect today will be no different. Robbie Nielsen, he will watch the game from the stand. He's starting a three-match ban after his red card against Rangers last week, and he has stuck with the same team that drew 1-1 in that game expectedly. So the team will probably be a 3-4-2-1 formation. Craig Gordon in goals, John Souter, Craig Halkett and Stephen Kingsley at the back, with Michael Smith, Benny Beringame, Cammy Devlin and Alex Cochran across midfield. Barry Mackay and Ben Woodburn will be behind Liam Boyce up front, and the subs for Hearts are Stuart Herring, GMS Moore, Andy Halliday, Nangeli and Josh Ginnelly. For Dundee, they come into the game off the back of their first Premiership win of the season against Crisis at Aberdeen last weekend. It was a great win for James McPake and his players, and again he's only made one change. Sean Byrne took a really, really sore one. I think they're still waiting to find out the extent of his knee injury, but Max Anderson comes in for Dundee. So Dundee will be 4-3-3. Adam Legends in goals, a back four of Cammy Kerr, Lee Ashcroft, Ryan Sweeney and Jordan Marshall, Jordan McGee, Charlie Adam and Max Anderson across the middle, with Luke McCown and Paul McMullen up supporting Lee Griffiths. It's also Dundee, Lawler, Fontaine, Mullen, McGowan, Elliott, Sheridan and Cummings, and the referee at Tynecastle Day is Gavin Duncan.
Absolute cracker there. Hearts looking to go top. What will Dundee do after their first victory last week? Let's try Tannadice, Dundee United against Motherwell. High flying Dundee United that should be, Fraser Wishart.
It is, and I think this could be a good argument for game of the day. Firstly, the kick-off's been delayed, Gordon, until 3:15. There was actually a crash. I get caught up in the traffic there, but the Motherwell bus was behind me, so hasn't even made it yet, I don't think, to the ground. So they're delayed until 3:15 kick-off. But as Gordon Dale said, a cracking game in prospect here. Two teams not really fancied by many at the start of the season, but both had excellent starts to their campaigns, and both have taken points off the Old Firm. United, of course, have beaten Rangers here and are sitting just 3 points behind Rangers in third place, and we go level in points to the Ibrox side with a win today, and Motherwell only another 3 points further back. So with both in good form and both in decent spirits, I think it will be a good game here today. Motherwell come in decent spirits because they lost to Celtic, but it was a good performance by the team. They just have that lack of cutting edge in front of goal. But United have quietly crept up the table, and if you add the loss of Lauren Shankland transferred to Belgium and his replacement Mark McNulty out until 2022 with a serious hamstring injury, it makes a good start even more impressive for Tam Courts, the new manager. He's brought in his own style. Excellent 3-0 win at Easter Road last week. They look solid at the back. Looks like Fuchs and Harks flourishing in midfield, and he's given young players a chance. Likes of Glass and Freeman have been playing recently, and Nicky Clark has stepped in up front, so everything looking good at Tannadice. But Motherwell need to find that cutting edge. Lack of goals recently, Kevin Van Veen returns to starting 11 today. They're also solid, but need goals in midfield as well. Play a solid midfield three, but there's not really a balance in there, I think, with a creative midfield player who's going to go and get a goal. So they're going to look to Woolery and Watt to support Van Veen today. Two teams in good form I don't want to jinx it, but I think there might be a few goals here today. For United, just one change from a team that beat Hibs last week. Declan Glass goes out, and in comes Dylan Levitt. They've got Kieran Freeman in goals. They've got Edwards, Mulgrew and McMahon who make... Sorry, Benjamin Tigrist in goals. Freeman, Edwards, Mulgrew and McMahon at the back. In midfield, Pollitt, Fuchs, Levitt and Iskanen, with Hearts supporting Nicky Clark up front. The subs are Newman, Glass, Chambers, Biamou, Apare, Hottie and Smith for Motherwell. They make one change. That Van Veen comes in for Roberts. Liam Kelly's in goals. O'Donnell, Mugabe, Ojala and McGinley at the back. In midfield, Grimshaw, Slattery and Goss, with Woolery, Van Veen and Watt up front. Fox, Carroll, Maguire, O'Hara, Sulholm, Roberts and Shields are on the bench, and the referee today at Tannadice is Kevin Clancy.
You know, you would expect me to say these things, Hugh Keevans, but genuinely, you look through the fixtures today, so much to look forward to, so many different storylines, a lot to play for in every game.
This is the definition of a vibrant league. If Hearts win, they go top. If Dundee United win, they are level on points with Rangers. If Celtic beat St Johnston, they are 1 point away from Rangers. So there we have a vibrant top of the division, and we've been crying out for this for years, and we always say, ah, it'll peter out, it'll never sustain itself. However, at least give them credit for getting this way at the 10th game. Let's hope it can continue. Nothing against the team at the top of the league, but surely everyone wants a competitive league.
And let's see if we can try Roger Hanna. Can you hear us this time, Roger?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me from the...
We've got you.
Excellent. Roger, I was actually thinking back to the first day of the league season earlier on when we had to give all of those predictions, and I think each and every one of us took either Aberdeen or Hibs to finish third. I think you might have taken one of them to finish second, but when we arrive here today, it's actually 9th against 5th. Stephen Glass complaining this week there's an agenda from some folk against him, so I won't offer an opinion straight away in Aberdeen's form. I'll just give you the stats. 5 straight defeats, their worst run of form since 2010. They're 10 without a win. That's 8 defeats and 2 draws. They haven't won in the league here at Pittodrie since the opening weekend of the season. They're 2 points above the relegation playoff place. They're out of Europe to Carabag. They're out of the League Cup to Raith Rovers. And their next 6 games, starting today, Hibs, Rangers, Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee United and Celtic, the current top 6 in the Premiership. So maybe a little surprise that the chairman, Dave Cormack, was moved to defend Glass this week after the raging supporters directed their ire towards him after last Saturday night's defeat at Dundee. Glass's response, 3 changes. The big one, Joe Lewis is back in goal after 2 games out the side. Gary Woods drops to the bench. Marley Watkins comes in for Johnny Hayes, and Jack McKenzie misses out. He suffered an ankle injury in training on Thursday. He'll be assessed by a specialist on Monday. He's not involved. Ross McCrory comes back in, and we think, according to the locals, Gordon, it'll be a change of system as well. We think it'll be a 3-4-2-1 to mirror the Hibs lineup. So that means Joe Lewis back in goal. We think a back 3 of Ross McCrory, Declan Gallagher and David Bates. Across the middle, Calvin Ramsey, Scott Brown, Lewis Ferguson and Funzo Ojo, with Marley Watkins and Ryan Hedges just behind the top scorer, Christian Ramirez. On the bench, Woods, McGinn, Emmanuel Thomas, McGeoch, Hayes, Samuels and Longstaff. As for Hibs, they've dropped to 5th after those back-to-back defeats to Rangers and Dundee United. Ryan Porteous is still suspended, but they do have Martin Boyle, who of course was targeted by his hometown club Aberdeen in the summer before signing a new deal, and he's been so valuable for Hibs. He's joint top scorer in the Premiership with 6 goals so far. Jack Ross has made 4 changes though from that side that lost 3-0 at home to United 7 days ago. In come the experience of Paul McGinn, Darren McGregor and Lewis Stevenson, as well as young Jamie Gullen in attack, with Nathan Wood, Josh Doig, Scott Allen and Jamie Murphy all dropping to the bench. There you go, Matt Macy in goal, the 3 at the back, Paul McGinn, Darren McGregor and Paul Hanlon. Across the middle, Chris Cadden, Jake Doyle-Hayes, Joe Newell and Lewis Stevenson, with Martin Boyle and Jamie Gullen just off Kevin Nisbet. On the bench, Dabrowski, Doig and Wright, Wood, Murphy, Gogic and Allen. Difficult to call last season. The Dons won 2-0 at home and 1-0 away. Hibs won 2-0 at home and 1-0 away, so you can really pick any result today. And the referee we've got here at Pittodrie today is Greg Aiken.
Looking forward to all those games. Another match in the Premiership, Ross County against Livy. Ross County with Maynard, Brewer in goal, Baldwin, Payton, Spittle, Callaghan, Iacoviti, Charles Cook, Clark, Hungbo, Payton and Jordan White. As for Livy, Max Strike in goal, a back 4, Nicky Devlin, Obalai, Fitzwater and Kelly, Holt, Pittman, Omeonga, Bailey, Montano and Bruce Anderson leading the line in that one. So that's you up to speed at this time on a Saturday. We usually get all the guys involved. We look back on some of the week's biggest talking points. We'll do that next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray, Mark Wilson, Gordon Diehl, all in the studio. We've got the top team out and about around the ground. Some fantastic fixtures to look forward to this afternoon. They all speak for themselves. Celtic, St Johnston, Aberdeen, Hibs, Dundee United, Motherwell, Hearts, Dundee and Ross County Livy in the top flight. Big games up and down the division. Scottish Cup weekend as well, so we'll keep you up to speed on anything interesting that happens there. But on this time on a Saturday, we usually get all the guys involved. We look back on some of the week's biggest talking points. And more often than not, Roger Hannah, there's a European theme. How would you sum up what we saw during the week?
What we saw during the week was just exactly what the Old Firm needed after a difficult start to the Europa League groups. They both had to get home wins against Ferencváros on Tuesday, Brøndby Thursday night, and they probably, if they have ambitions to reach the knockout phase of this competition, they probably need to go and repeat the feats in the away games in a couple of weeks' time in Hungary and Denmark. Having seen Ferencváros, I know Hugh saw them a lot closer than I did, having seen bits and bobs of it, I don't think there's any reason Celtic couldn't go there and win again and really put themselves back in with a chance in the group. Rangers as well, I really can't see any reason why they couldn't go to Denmark and beat that Brøndby team. And if Lyon were to complete the double over Sparta Prague, suddenly it's game on for Rangers to get back again into the knockout stages in this competition.
Alex Ray, I know you were there on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a much must win, Gordon, you for Celtic and Rangers, really, just to get the campaigns up and running. I thought Rangers were quite comfortable. Fought in the first half, they were impressive, created a few opportunities, and in the second half they managed the game very well. And as I have to say, the coefficient was much needed that both the Old Firm added to that.
Hugh, to make the loose generalisation, they were kind of both in the same boat, weren't they? They both had lost their opening games and therefore had to win, both at home against the teams on paper you would expect them to win. So there were actually a lot of similarities between both games during the week.
Yeah, they put a down payment on improvement, I would say. They have to go now, Celtic, have to go to Hungary, Rangers to Denmark, and see what they can do there. I think they're both capable of beating Ferencváros and Brøndby. They now have to go and prove that is the case. But I think the fans of both clubs, and there were 50,000 at each match, I think they were entertained, and I think they left in a positive frame of mind.
Where do we stand going forward, Fraser Wishart, before we look back on some of the main talking points? Because you have to look at results elsewhere, and you know, Bayer Leverkusen drawing with Betis, and I'm not sure if that does suit Celtic or not. Lyon coming from behind to win, so it looks like they will run away with Rangers group. Is that really what you're hoping for one team to go and run away, or how do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, at one point Sparta were two up as well, so and Lyon came back. That's a good result for Rangers, because I think they want it to be a straight head-to-head with Sparta, and they might have to go to the Czech Republic and win that game. For Celtic, I don't think it was a great result, a draw. You know, Celtic will still be looking back to that Betis game. They scored three goals away from home and still lost the game. I think they would like Leverkusen to run away with that and probably beat Betis next week, so that it's a head-to-head again for Celtic. But really, just they've got to win these games. They've got to go to Brøndby, they've got to go to Ferencváros, win those games and hope they get the break elsewhere. But very comfortable performances. Both teams, I thought, were excellent. A wee spell in the second half. Ibrox, where Brøndby looks as if they might grab a goal, and that could have put pressure on Rangers. But overall, pretty comfortable, played really well first half. Celtic outstanding, one of the best goals I've seen for a long time. That pass by Jota, and Kyogo's touch and finish, just absolute top class. Very simple. So it wasn't a case of beating three men and a nutmeg or whatever else, just very simple, but a brilliant goal. And Celtic will get a wee lift from that going into the away game. I think they both realise they have the better of those two teams, but they have to go and do it. And then if results elsewhere go their way, then they'll get a two-game chance of getting second place, but at least third place. You know, they've still got the Europa Conference. I know it's not ideal, but there's a bit of money to be made in that, and there's some interesting European games after Christmas. But I think both teams should have their eyes on getting out of this group stage and getting to the last 32 of the Europa League.
What did we learn from Celtic's victory during the week, David Friel? They're back at it again today. I guess it's another step on a small winning run. What was the main conclusions you took away from it?
I think defensively, I don't think Joe Hart had too many saves to make, and I know it sounds strange to when a game when they scored a goal of that class, as Fraser's saying, with Jota's ball and Kyogo's touch and finish, but I just thought defensively Celtic are starting to look a little bit stronger. I think Starfelt and Carter Vickers are gaining an understanding, and I think that then allows the rest of the players to go and really express themselves. And in terms of Jota, I think Celtic have got a star in their hands. You know, Ange Postecoglou was talking this morning about him, but these days wingers are are judged in numbers. That's a kind of modern phrase. You know, what's his numbers like? But Jota's, you know, created two goals the other night. He's scoring goals, two big away goals for Celtic in the last couple of weeks. So I think it's starting to come together. But I think the foundation, even though Celtic are so attacking, has to be that central defence. And I do think they're starting to impress and improve.
Do you understand, Hugh Keevans, the do whatever you can to sign Jota now shout? Or do we have to remind ourselves that it is early and you want to maybe wait a little bit longer before you get carried away?
Well, we don't write the cheques, and those who do write the cheques at Celtic Park will want to be sure that he can sustain this form. But he and Furuhashi have been taken to the hearts of the Celtic fans. It's very clear to see and to hear. He is an outstanding talent. I'm still wondering why Celtic managed to get him in the first place, because you'd have thought that somebody that good would have been on the radar of clubs within his own country in Portugal or other parts of the continent. So it's a terrific piece of due diligence by Celtic in the first place to get him to Scottish football. He is a star in the making. He simply has to maintain what he has been doing. He is unfazed by the physicality of Scottish football. He is unfazed by European or domestic football. He seems to be at home here, quite literally at home. And therefore, if he goes on in the manner in which he has been doing, the Celtic fans will demand, not just ask, they will demand that Jota is signed on a full-time contract.
Anyone else think it's too early or mind made up already? How do you view that one?
I think that even if he takes a dip in form, Gordon, you can tell by the way he's playing just now, the confidence that he's playing with. That pass the other night there, Fraser was right. It's one of the best goals I've seen in a long time. It was a terrific ball. That's a confident player. Even if he takes a dip, you still know that talent's there. And he's obviously got that in abundance. So I'd be very surprised. Celtic supporters have already made their mind up, let's be honest about that. And I'm sure that the manager will be pressing for that. He's got to do it every week just now, and he's doing that. He's scoring goals. You're right, you just get, you don't, it's not a case of how many assists, you've got to pitch in with goals. He's doing that as well. He looks a complete player, and I think he'll only get better. So I'm sure everyone at Celtic Park would like to see that permanent.
The early indications are very good, Gordon, and I agree with the guys. I thought his pass, the way he cut across it, the weight of the pass was tremendous. 13 games in, I don't think Celtic would be in a rush. If they were going to do it, maybe do it around about the January. But the early indications are that the Celtic fans have taken to him. He's settled in brilliantly, because sometimes a young guy coming to a new surroundings, he fits the bill. Young, buy him kind of, what is it, 6 million, round about that mark, and then punt him for a hefty fee.
I think when you see what Celtic have spent in recent years, you know, you look at Julien. Was Julien about £7 million?
Yeah.
You look at Barkas, they spent an awful lot of money on him. So that's a defender and a goalkeeper. So how can you justify not paying 6.5 million for a guy who creates, can pass like he did the other night, can score goals? The Celtic fans would be in uproar. And I know it's early in the season, but you get a feel for people early in the season. You see how they adapt. You see their numbers, like the guys were talking about there. And Jota's certainly up there. So I don't think there's any doubt.
Are you going in for a hairdo? A Jota hairdo? Because you're the one in the studio
get,
can pull that
a few
off.
Tints in it, yeah.
Let's turn our attention to Rangers, Roger. I wonder if the victory on Thursday evening, obviously the 3 points is the priority, but I wonder if more than that, the knock-on effect, can it provide that spark that some people have been talking about? Can this be the performance that really kickstarts a return to the heights hit last season?
Yeah, listen, it very possibly can. I was particularly impressed by Joe Aribo's contribution. We spoke in the show, I think it was on Wednesday night, with Andy Halliday, after Steven Gerrard had criticised Alfredo Morelos, and were saying, yeah, 5-15, which is now of course 5-16, isn't really good enough for a Rangers centre forward. But if he's in that form, he needs teammates to step forward and help him out. And I thought Joe Aribo did that with his performance. Kemar Roof did it with the goal that was eventually given with VAR on Thursday night. So others are contributing, and you could see, you could almost notice a change in Steven Gerrard's demeanour after the game. I think he was particularly impressed, as Alex says, with that first half performance on Thursday. And I think he maybe senses that it's the kind of result, the kind of performance over the first 45 minutes that could kick Rangers on to something else. It was interesting to listen to Aribo after the game saying, yeah, the manager told me to step up and grab the, you know, grab things by the scruff of the neck almost. And you just wonder now if the same message is going to Morelos and he could start doing that at St Mirren tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with Roger. I actually thought Ariba was tremendous last week against Hearts as well, particularly in the first half. He just looks really impressive. He took that one into the European game. I think the Morelos one's an interesting one, Gordon. He's been called out by the manager publicly and needs more goals from him. When you go back a year, I think he might be one goal better off last year, but the difference was there was goals coming from everywhere. You know, the fullbacks, the Barisic, the centre-halves were scoring on a regular basis, and it just adds more pressure to striker because the rest are not pitching in. Alfredo Morelos just has to get his head down, work hard, and the goals will come because he puts himself in the right opportunities to do that.
Alec, I think Steven Gerrard has taken an interesting turn with regard to Morelos. Prior to the game against Bromby, he said, 5 goals in 15 for a number 9 at Rangers, not good enough. Then he takes him off against Bromby. And what he had to say in this morning's newspapers, he won't get the dream move unless he starts to score more regularly. So that's 2 rockets in 1 week for Morelos. Point number one, will he start him tomorrow in Paisley? Point number two, if he doesn't get a goal tomorrow, where's the next rocket coming from and what will it say?
You can't continue to just batter him publicly. You know, you have to get your, because you're clearly going through a difficult time as well. So there comes a period when you put it out there, let the fans know that you're not happy with the performances you're actually showing at the moment and the goal return at the moment. But at some point as well, you have to step back and try and support him or take him out the firing line.
And Fraser Wishart, an ongoing debate on this show for longer than I care to remember, and it will be ongoing for a long time still to come. VAR, we get close looks at it in Europe and international football at the moment, and if you're a Rangers fan, you loved it and hated it the other night. So we're starting to get a little snapshot of what life might be like in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think VAR is going to come. We spoke about that, I think, the show last weekend, and you can see the factual part. You know, Kemar Roof, I think at first look, I think even Kemar thought he was offside as well and just tapped in the net just for the hell of it. But then it turns out he was onside. But remember, VAR's still very much subjective, and I thought it was a penalty when Aribo was brought down. But the VAR referee and the referee themselves thought not. And even go back to the Liverpool game on Tuesday, when the referee stopped by, overturned his own decision when he gave a penalty. I still thought that was a penalty to Atletico Madrid. So we're still going to have anomalies and still going to have debates because we disagree even with VAR. But it's going to come into Scotland next couple of years, maybe, I would guess, once they get everybody trained up and they get a strategy together. And again, the balance in our country is going to be, I'm at Dundee United, Motherwell, I don't know how many cameras are here for. Would they pick up a Kemar Roof type situation? Maybe not, but the cameras tomorrow in Paisley would. So that's the kind of balance that they've got to wrestle with. But yeah, Rangers liked it because they got that goal that just settled them down before half time as well and gave them a deserved 2-0 lead rather than going 1-0, where it's a wee bit dodgy going into the second half.
Yeah, Alex, like I say, saw both sides of it really.
Yeah, without doubt. I think it's easier to get the offside, you know, because of the lines and that. I think, again, we spoke about this, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, the guys in the studio. It's subjective. The guy, I think it was the Dutch officials and the VAR OB outside, are looking at that, and they don't think there's contact on Joe Aribo, whereas I've yet to hear anyone out with not think that's a penalty.
It was the biggest stonewall penalty I've seen. I cannot believe that they looked at that and thought otherwise. So that's the side of VAR that we're going to get here every Monday and Tuesday in this show. We will be chatting about it, but the good side about it is Roof's goal. Everybody that looked at that would have thought it was offside. It took me a good couple of looks at it to then see the lines and go, oh yeah, there you go. So that's a good side, because that could be the difference in a season between teams going down or staying up, and there's so much at stake. So those decisions are brilliant, but we'll still get talking points.
Yeah, some brilliant fixtures to look forward to today though. We'll go back around the grounds next.
As it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray, Mark Wilson, Gordon Diehl, all in the studio. Unbelievable fixtures to look forward to on a Saturday afternoon. Really exciting stuff. Let's go back to Celtic Park and just get a quick recap of teams with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, 2 changes for Ange Postecoglou from that 2-0 win over Ferencváros. Adam Montgomery and Lille Abada dropping out of the starting lineup. Josip Juranovic returns from injury, and it's a first start for Yorgos Giakoumakis. So it'll be Joe Hart who starts in goal for them today. The back four: Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Carol Starfelt and Josip Juranovic. The midfield three: Callum McGregor, Tom Rogic and David Turnbull, with Jota and Kyogo Furuhashi either side of Giakoumakis. The substitutes: Bain, Welsh, Beaton, Montgomery, Johnston, Abada and Ayeti. As for St Johnstone, 4 changes from that disappointing 3-0 loss to Livingston last weekend. Rooney, O'Halloran, Craig and May all drop out, And coming back in, Gordon, Brown, Bryson and Middleton. So Xander Clark continues in goal for them. The back three, Effie Ambrose, Liam Gordon and Jamie McCart. James Brown and Callum Booth, the wing backs for them. The midfield three, Cameron McPherson, Craig Bryson and David Wotherspoon. And it'll be Glenn Middleton supporting Chris Kane up top. The substitutes for St Johnstone today, Parrish, Devine, Muller, Craig, Crawford, May and Vertanen. And the referee here at Celtic Park is Nick Walsh.
Let's hear from Callum Davidson.
Listen, I think Celtic, you know, obviously new ownership, new manager, new style of play. So really interested how they play. I think they play really attacking football. So again, it's going to be a really tough game. They've got really good wide players, good rotation. So we've got to make sure we can deal with that, make sure we can nullify their threat. And always at Parkhead, it's try to keep them quiet for 25 minutes. And I've always said that if you keep them quiet, you've always got an opportunity. If you don't, then it'll be a long afternoon. I think the players know that. They know what to do, but again, it'll be a really tough game.
We can actually reflect on Dundee United Motherwell in a bit more detail later, because remember that one's been delayed until 3:15. I think it was an accident on the road up to Tannadice, so that one is going to kick off about 15 minutes later. Just finally then, Hugh, on Celtic before we go back around the rest of the grounds, Callum Davidson there clearly knowing the size of the challenge that lies ahead. At risk of stating the obvious, how important is it that Celtic win this, minimum fuss, make it another win, and just try and really build up that momentum that's not been there yet this season? Because now they're getting players back, they've got some options, and like I say, trying to get that run going.
Vitally important, because there then comes Hibs at Easter Road on Wednesday. Now, that will be a real test of Celtic. I think it's important to see these two games as a sequence of events for Celtic. If they get 6 points from those two games, game on in terms of the league again, because Ange Postecoglou has created a terrific mood, but it's game by game by game for Ange Postecoglou, because all eyes are on him. He has the chance symbolically to cut a 6-point lead to a 1-point lead today. He has to take that chance.
Let's go back to Pittodrie, because there's just so much to get through with regards Stephen Glass and Aberdeen's performances and Dave Cormack's strong defence of his manager, Roger Hannah. Where are we at with Stephen Glass? Because you never really know how much is the pressure actually on, as in how much is his job seriously at risk, or is this just a modern phenomenon of a few bad games and people start to ask questions?
Well, at 10-3 this afternoon, his job is not at serious risk. I'm watching him. He's down just a few moments ago doing pre-match TV interviews on the trackside here with a club jacket on. Dave Cormack has given him the full backing. I'm never sure that's always a good thing for a chairman, to give you full public backing. But as you say, 10-3, job safe. At 10-5, it could be a different story, because Hibernian, despite a couple of back-to-back defeats to Rangers and Dundee United, are a strong side. Any side with Martin Boyle and Kevin Nisbet in the front line is a dangerous side. They could come here and win. If they do come here and win, I don't think the Aberdeen supporters will take it lightly. It would extend their losing streak to 6. It would extend their winless streak to 11. And it would pile real pressure on Stephen Glass, because it doesn't matter who you are, Gordon. You can be put in by a new chairman. You can be told, listen, you're in charge of a project. You're going to get time. We're going to change the entire football department. But all the boys will tell you, it's a results-driven business. And if you're at a club the size of Aberdeen and the winless run starts getting into double figures and beyond, then you're under pressure.
What do you make of the approach then? Because generally speaking, Roger, it sounds admirable for those in charge of football clubs to say, I'm going to be open, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be accessible, I'm going to be able to answer fans' questions and update people on what's going on at the club. But in 1 week, we've had Dave Cormack going on radio with a strong defence of his manager, which didn't go down very well. And I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, you lot, a Falkirk Q&A with the board members, which really, really didn't go down well. In fact, it was calamitous at times. So did these things ever end well, Roger?
I'm a fan of them, I have to say. I always think transparency, openness, honesty are good things, Gordon. But equally, I do think you need to read the room at times. and I haven't seen all the detail of the Falkirk win. Someone was mentioning it to me yesterday, but in terms of Dave Cormack, we're here at Pittodrie today, in terms of Dave Cormack, he felt compelled to speak after the criticism of his manager, loud criticism of his manager by a section of the support at Dens Park last Saturday night. When you do that, you need a degree of courage, because you will know you're not going to win them all back just with a few words. You need actions, and those actions are going to have to start this afternoon. Otherwise, the pressure's just going to build and build and build.
Let's hear from Stephen Glass then, ahead of a huge game for him at Pittodrie.
I think the fact they had a disappointing result last week means they'll be determined to bounce back. They'll be determined. There's been a lot of rivalry over the last few years between the clubs, a lot of proximity in the division. Hibs have got a little bit of breathing space at the minute, and they'll be hoping that we don't close that. So I think they'll be focused on that. But we're focused on ourselves and negating Hibs' strengths and attacking their weaknesses like we do every week and like they'll be trying to do to us.
And here's Jack Ross.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll use it to galvanise him even more, because I think with some of his comments you feel that some of the criticism has perhaps been excessive and unjust. But for me, I think on the aftermath of last weekend, it was naturally about focus on us producing a performance that's much more like us, irrespective of the opponent and the situation they find themselves in. I think the Scottish Premiership this year has shown what everybody expected from it and predicted, that it would be the most competitive in a number of years. I think we're seeing that. So there are just so many difficult games in it, both home and away. We've seen that firsthand last week. We've got to make sure, though, that we provide Aberdeen with that type of test and opposition at the weekend.
Let's turn attentions to the other Edinburgh side, Hearts at home to Dundee. David Friel, with Hearts' start to the season, I would imagine comes a greater deal of expectation. Maybe that brings its own kind of pressure, because if you are serious about staying up the top of the division, with no disrespect to Dundee, a home game against them is one that you're going to have to take all 3 points in, surely.
Yeah, it is, and I would expect Hearts to take 3 points. And yes, there is pressure on Robin Hilson and his players. What strikes me when you come to Hearts these days is I can't remember this club being as optimistic, as positive. You speak to fans, you speak to people at work here. The guy that took my at the car park, front door of the car park, he had my name down as Daniel Field, couldn't stop laughing and smiling, and everybody is just happy. The players have just finished their warm-up, they've been in the centre circle, they've clapped the fans, the place is almost full already. The only downside is the floodlights are on and it's only 5-3 in October. But no, there's positivity here. Yes, there's pressure, but I think Hearts will go and win this game. I think come 5 o'clock tonight, I think they'll be top of the league.
A big Daniel Friel there. Let's hear from Robbie Nielsen ahead of this one.
It's easy when we're winning. It'll be when we have a wee knock that they have to pick them back up again. But the spirit's good. We've got a group of young guys that want to do really well for the club, and a group of senior ones that will get that experience that can help them on their way. Also, Rangers don't play until the Sunday, so it gives us a chance to, you know, put a wee marker down. I would say they're hungry. We've got a group of guys that whether they're young players hungry in their career to do well, or whether it's senior ones that are hungry to, you know, continue and get success. So I think it's a good group here.
Obviously, it's early, Hugh, and nothing is won on the 23rd of October. But if you'd offered Hearts the chance to go top on the 23rd of October a few months back, they would have taken your hand off.
Oh, without doubt. They started the season by beating Celtic. They remain the only team unbeaten in the Premier League. They are entitled to be proud of themselves. To hear Daniel talk about the ground being almost full before kickoff is terrific. I know Edinburgh. I know the city. When one of them is firing on all cylinders, it's Hearts' turn now. I think they will win that match today, but all over, the best games today all have one philosophy, the carrot and stick philosophy. The carrot is there for Hearts to go top. The carrot is there for Dundee United to equal Rangers in terms of the number of points won. The carrot is there for Celtic to go 1 point behind Rangers after a worrying start to the season for them. So they've all got the carrot. If they don't do it, the stick follows.
And to answer Daniel's question from earlier, you are a big fan of Succession, and you were delighted to see Hearts get involved with the launch of season 3, which hit the television screen this week.
I've started backing it, but delighted, and I think David's right that everything's going particularly well there at Tynecastle. I look at Hearts just now quickly, Gordon, that, you know, probably looking back a few seasons ago, when they were in a good run of games, you would say, well, there's a bad result round the corner. Everybody look at Dundee today, really struggling, losing a lot of goals, going to Tynecastle, Hearts firm favourites, full house in at Tynecastle. I just see Hearts running over the top of Dundee. I think they're playing with that much confidence, and I think they will go top of the table tonight.
Okay, got some fantastic fixtures coming up at 3 o'clock. Remember, the game at Tannadice has been delayed, so we'll go back there and we'll get the 3 o'clock games up and running next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel in the studio. We've got the top team all around the grounds, and the 3 o'clock games are just getting underway. We've got Celtic, St Johnson, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, Dundee, Ross County, Livy, Dundee United, Motherwell's been delayed by 15 minutes. If you're interested in the English Premier League, a narrow one for Chelsea down there, just the 7-0 victory against Norwich earlier on. Before we go any further then, Hugh, let's see what your Aka looks like. Big games, that means big pressure on you to deliver the goods. Who's going to win this afternoon?
Even bigger pressure on Ange Postecoglou, and I think he'll respond to it by getting a home win for Celtic against St Johnstone. I believe sometimes it is darkest before the dawn, and I mean the D-O-N. So I'm taking Aberdeen to beat Hibs at Pittodrie and end that long 10-game winless run. I'm taking Dundee United to beat Motherwell, Hearts to beat Dundee and go top. And in the last game, not a home win, Livy to win away at Ross County.
Alex Ray.
I'm going for a home win for Celtic today. I'm going for a home win for Aberdeen also. Dundee United to draw with Motherwell, Hearts to draw with Dundee and Ross County.
What?
No, I know. I know it's mad. I'm going for the
odds
today.
I like it. Sticking his neck in the line.
Ross County versus Livy.
I'll make your coffee if you get that up.
Go on, Mark. You go first.
Okay, I'll Celtic to beat St Johnson. I think Aberdeen will stop the rot, but they'll only get a draw against Hibs. I think Dundee United Motherwell will be a draw also. Hearts will go top with a win against Dundee, and it'll be a draw up at Dingwall between Ross County and Livingston.
I'm going home win Celtic, away win Hibs, away win Motherwell, home win Hearts, and a home win Ross County, because I say every week that they'll get their first win.
Goal flashes with Aspire Industrial Services, leading the way in industrial and corporate branded workwear.
Let's go then. I'm looking forward to this afternoon. Big games everywhere you look. I don't know which one is going to take most of the attention. We'll keep an eye on them all as close as we possibly can, because there is a lot to get through. Huge games everywhere you turn. And it's Scottish Cup weekend as well. Some fascinating ones there, Hugh. I know you're waiting till Monday night.
Yes.
That's the one that really interests you. Clydebank against Elgin.
Exactly.
On Monday night.
7:45 kickoff in the Estadio home park.
Going to go along after the show?
Full house, Hugh.
Yeah.
Full house.
Sold out, yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a ticket, but unfortunately I can't get one, so I've arranged other
other plans.
That's a home win as well, incidentally.
Lots to look forward to, though, I must admit. In the second round today, some great fixtures. You know, you're at that stage where it throws up all sorts. I mean, for instance, Stranraer taking on Darvel. Darvel's first ever season in the Scottish Cup, going down there to take on league opposition in Stranraer. We mentioned Clydebank Elgin, which is on Monday night. What else would tickle our fancy in this part of the world? I'm trying to think, having a look through them. I think that's an old Lowland League clash, isn't it? East Kilbride against University of Stirling, so they'll fancy trying to go through. Brora Rangers, they're hosting Albion Rovers, the wee Rovers all the way up there.
Right, a journey that one, yeah.
A bit of a, is that a banana skin? Because not much between them, are is there going to be realistically?
No, I don't think
the favourites for that, boys?
Brora.
Would they?
Travelling's going to kill them. Some of the guys are would they be working in the morning, Mark?
Imagine so. The Stranraer Darvel one is an interesting one. Darvel have thrown a bit of money at their full setup over the years, and they'll be looking to see the effects of that in this game, and they'll be relishing a test against league opposition.
So we'll keep an eye on some of them, but we do have big league games to contend with this afternoon as well. Underway everywhere apart from Tynecastle, from Tannadice, my apologies. Before we go there, let's get the teaser up and running, Hugh, because we want to give maximum time on this one.
The first half teaser with Sunday's Scottish Sun. Free goals, pull out, plus Davy Province, Frank and Fearless column.
Now, leaving out players who are currently at the club
leaving them out, there have been five African internationals who have played for Rangers since season 2010-2011. Name them. So, excluding players currently at Ibrox, there have been five African internationals who have played for Rangers since season 2010-2011. Who are they?
I know for a fact Gordon DL won't get these because his geography is abysmal, to say the least. But if you fancy your chances this afternoon, you need to send one tweet with all five correct answers on it, and you need to send it over to @ClydeSSB. It is a bit of a race, so you want to beat everyone else to it. Do not hang about. Get your thinking caps on and send them over, please, to @ClydeSSB. Anything else to tell you about early on? I don't think so. Just early goals down south, for instance, Everton 1, Watford 0.
Early pressure by St Johnstone. Yeah. So they are certainly not cowed by the experience of going to Celtic Park in the aftermath of a Celtic European win. They are taking the game to Celtic straight away.
They certainly are. They've got a free kick down the right hand side as well. Jota is doing a bit of defending, not very effectively, because he's given away a free kick, which means Kyogo out on the right hand side. Mark Wilson, perhaps where people expected. I think he played off the left at Ibrox, didn't he?
Yeah.
But with Jota in such good form, he's taken Abada's place.
Yeah, well, just during the break, I said to Alex, we were kind of chatting about if he would go, Kyogo would go left, and that would mean moving Jota. I don't think you can move Jota when he's been shown the kind of form he has been, you know, in terms of assists, in terms of goals. Why would you upset that? The interesting thing is to see how Kyogo does out there. I think we'll all agree that he's, you know, he's more useful through that middle. He stretches teams, he runs in behind. And it'll be interesting to see what Giakoumakis brings, if he is just going to be a lone target man, and Kyogo is still going to make those runs just from an area on the right. But like I said before, Ange Postecoglou is in a different position than he was a couple of weeks ago. If this doesn't work, at least he's got the options to bring Abada off the bench, to bring Micah Johnson off a bench, and put Kyogo through the middle.
Like, it's extremely early, Gordon, so at the risk of getting carried away, I'm not sure anyone would have expected relentless St Johnstone pressure at the start of the game, albeit early.
Yeah, you've got to say they've started with a lot of confidence, Gordon. They're on the front foot. They've caused a couple of problems. They had a nice free kick in there. They've got now got a corner kick, a chance to put a bit of pressure onto this Celtic defence. So I think Callum Davison, after a disappointing result against Livingston at home last week, he'll be happy, but it's early doors, and you know that Celtic are certainly going to come at you.
The thing is, Alex, though, it's wave after wave at the moment, yeah, because every set piece St Johnstone get, it either ends up in another set piece, or it goes all the way through for a throw in, or they're forcing fouls. They they've come out and look bang up for it this afternoon.
Yeah, without doubt, Gordon. I think Cammy McPherson's taken several of these set plays as well. Lovely delivery. You have to say Celtic have done well, because they've managed to get the first contact, but it's resulted in, I think it's Effie Ambrose with a long thrown out to the edge of the box.
Yeah, we've got a goal in the Championship, and I have to tell you what, the woes for Hamilton Accies continue, albeit they go there as underdogs today down to Kilmarnock, but Kilmarnock one up already. Ollie Shaw with the goal inside 5 minutes. It's not a great time to be an Accies fan.
Interesting times for the club, though, because they say that there could be two prospective buyers for the Accies, both unnamed as yet. But Ronnie McDonald apparently willing to relinquish control of the club. Been there a long time, Ronnie. So with new ownership comes fresh impetus and perhaps fresh cash. So, yep, on the park right now, dismal. Off the park, interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I read that article as well. And, you know, they guys have put a lot of time and effort, money into Hamilton Accies. They had some great times up at the top flight, Gordon, but they seem to be regressing a little bit now. They've obviously got a great community programme bringing young guys through. However, as Hugh says, if you get fresh ideas, somebody that's willing to take the next challenge on, maybe it'll be a case of these guys moving on.
And I think they would.
We've got one of these, in the top flight. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Ross County 1, Livingston 0. It's Harry Clark with the goal for the Staggies after 7 minutes. Gordon DL tips them every week because he knows that eventually he'll get it right and he'll look clever. And today could be the day.
No, that's not the case. I've stuck by my fellow pundit, Roger Hanna, who I work here on a Tuesday night with, who told me that they were playing particularly well at Fir Park that day. And I decided to have a look at them, and I thought they play good football. They're just a bit unfortunate. Still a long way to go, because at Livy's side, you know the character they've got. Going to St Johnstone last week, getting a great result, But great start for Malky Mackay.
Absolutely. Here's a goal that's gone in the Scottish Cup that's got a bit of a backstory, if you'll allow me. So East Stirling 0, Bonnie Rigg Rose 1. Do you know where East Stirling play their home games?
Yeah.
Falkirk?
It's at the Falkirk Stadium. Yeah. Right now, I just told you about this Q&A that took place at Falkirk between the fans and the board. And I'm not sure if you've seen it, but the opening, Hamilton Accies have equalised, by the way, Jamie Hamilton with the goal. But the opening exchange is magnificent. So a Falkirk fan takes the mic, right? And he's obviously well researched. If you've not seen it, you'll find it on Twitter. So he goes through all the stats about Falkirk's win percentage and how it's not good enough and what it takes to get out of League One, because this is what Arbroath did and this is what Partick Thistle did and it's not good enough and so on and so forth. And he then finishes by saying, at what stage do we make a change, or something along those lines. And I think it's the Falkirk chairman takes the mic and just says, that was a statement, not a question. And you can imagine how that goes down in the room.
That's so equivalent to just running away. And just
talk about reading the room, right, and trying to get these fans on board. That's at the start, and from then on, it just goes, it just goes downhill. The punchline, if you like, is that Bonnie Rigg Rose have turned up to play that game today. They've taken a picture of the Falkirk Stadium, and it says, they've tweeted saying, "We've arrived at the Falkirk Stadium." And that is a statement, not a question. So they're having a wee dig as well.
My favourite toe-curling moment from the Q&A was when the chairman suggested that Falkirk have been losing games because they're playing against teams who have released, who have players released by Falkirk, and therefore they try harder when they're playing against Falkirk. Now, the one thing you don't want to be is dismissive of the fans, and the other thing you don't want to be is insulting the fans' intelligence. And that was insulting the intelligence of the Falkirk supporters to say, oh, we're playing players who used to play for Falkirk, they're trying harder against us. Leaving one fan to point out that the last game Falkirk played, they lost 3-0 and there were no ex-Falkirk players in the other team.
I mean, Gordon Deal, you strike me as the type of man that's got other things to do on a Saturday night. But seriously, get on YouTube, watch this Falkirk Q&A.
I'm very busy on a Saturday night. I might just leave that one till Monday.
You know, you've got to try and get fans on board. Another one that went down like a lead balloon was basically the plea from, I can't remember which board member, who says, look, you can't come and boo the players. The players are scared to try things because the fans are booing. Fan behaviour is having an impact on the team. I mean, come on.
They seem to be as if they're just looking for a lot of excuses there, Gordon.
And by the way, I should say, it's difficult. You're not hiding at nothing. Can you actually say anything that would leave appease the fans going away and saying, oh great, yeah, we are on the right track? Probably not. So I get that it's a difficult job, but wow, some of the stuff was...
Gordon, it seems to be a modern thing where always a good opportunity there for Celtic.
Yeah, Callum McGregor with a shot from outside the box, well saved by the feet of my big neighbour, Xander Clark.
Yeah, going back to that, I always think you're on it hiding it to nothing. When things are going great, they're happy, they'll come along and there. But when you then start engaging with these supporters, they're always looking for something. And you're suggesting because of the results, you know, they're obviously wanting manager change.
But I might be wrong, Gordon. I've not seen it. I've only heard it about
you. You will tonight, though, I'm sure.
Yeah. But what I can't understand is the board sitting there. Surely if it's supporters coming along concerned about the team, do you not just look at the manager for this, to sit there and explain, this is what's happening?
Well, he was there as well. You know, it covered all sorts. Gary Holt was there. He was asked about different things. So was the manager. And
I feel for Paul. I had Paul at Ayr. He gave up a good job at Aberdeen to try management, and he's finding out how difficult it is. Just given time, I'm sure Paul will turn things around at Falkirk.
Airdrie 1, Dumbarton 0. Reece McCabe has scored in that one. Still nothing else in the top flight. We're about to kick off, I hope, at Tannadice. Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, still a bit away. The players aren't out yet, Gordon. Just a few of the substitutes begin to make their way. The players left the field after the warm-up about 5 minutes ago, so it might be a wee bit later than 3:15, but just like you mentioned, the players, of course, are wearing the Show Racism, the red card T-shirts as the start of the fortnight of action, and unfortunately we still have to get that message across. You think that incidents involving the likes of Glenn Kamara, Kyogo, Marvin Bartley, others routinely abused online, so we have to still challenge racism. And a wee plug for a great video that's going to be shown on television tomorrow at the game, St Mirren against Rangers, but it's on PFA Scotland's Twitter site and shows some red cards as well, involving players from up and down the country and all clubs as well, conveying the anti-racist message. So an important day in the calendar for Scottish football. But on the field, I think it's an important day for Dundee United. I think they have to build on their big win last week. That was a terrific result, 3-0 away to Hibs. But it'd all go to waste almost if you lost today's game, because there's a chance to build on that as the players do come out holding the show with some red card cards and this real show in the centre circle. But I think it's a difficult game for them because they have to keep that standard going, and I think Motherwell are actually a good team. None of us really tipped either of them to be particularly successful, but they brought in the likes of Chalmers and Nielsen and Kerr Smith, youngsters, giving them a chance at United, Glass and Freeman and Appery, so they're getting a really good balance. But for me, I think we'll get a few goals here today, and I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be 2-2 at Tannadice.
Well, we'll find out. Just remember, over 15 minutes late on that one, an accident on the way up to Dundee. We hope everyone's okay. It's just a football game. It can take place when the time is right. So we're a bit behind on that one. The rest are well underway though. And Celtic had a little spell, Mark Wilson, that good shot from Callum McGregor. A few balls flashed across. But St Johnstone are giving a good account of themselves.
Yeah, they're holding their own. They certainly haven't came to Celtic Park this afternoon to line up along their 18-yard line and allow Celtic just to come at them. They're going forward and getting bodies forward. But Cal McGregor, yeah, great first touch, came for a corner kick, a shot low through bodies. I thought it initially took a little nick. And Xander Clark, what a save. He has to save it with his feet. It's low, he sees it late, and it's the best opportunity we've seen so far.
I saw him this morning taking the bin out, a carton of milk fell out. You should have seen the reaction.
Saturday, quick as a flash, Fendi.
Took it at the second time of asking. Yeah, he was all over it. Banks of D 1 Nairn County 0. These are the types of big fixtures in the Scottish Cup this afternoon.
Tommy Rodgick has just had a moment to forget. He has had a wee fresh air swipe at the ball there, and it was a reasonable chance created for him, but Celtic trying to increase the tempo of their game. They have started in a way that Roger Hanna, Daniel Friel and myself would know from our newspaper days as a European hangover, a wee bit sleepy after that win over Ferencvaros. But it's a good game involving both goalkeepers.
There could be a wee shock on the cards. Edinburgh City 0, Bowness United 1. Edinburgh City, of course.
These teams are not bad.
An established SPFL side at home, but Bowness United are in front in that one.
Yeah, and I always say that these teams are they invest good money into these clubs now, and they get some good players, good experienced players, and this is their cup final.
Who are the good players at Bowness United?
John Hughes, not the John Hughes, Derek Brown, who plays in the right back position.
You're making it stop it. You're insulting people because you're acting as if that's true.
No, I've actually seen them. You Google
Here's
that.
Here's one for you then.
Right, okay.
Broomhill used to be known as BSC Glasgow. They're losing to Trenent Juniors.
They're not very good.
Who's Trenent Juniors' manager? I hope I'm going to get this right. Someone's going to tell me he's left, right? But he used to be, I think.
Gives an issue, not get it.
No, he used to play for Hearts, right? A bit of a name from the past. But not the distant past. That's the thing. You'll have forgotten all about this guy. But I wonder if you knew that
Gary McKay.
I wonder if you knew that little bit of trivia that he was the Trenent Juniors' manager.
Gary McKay, no?
No.
Someone along that.
More Mark Wilson's era.
What age are you?
Listen, I've been on this show with you how many years? Still don't know how old I am.
Callum Elliott.
Never heard.
Has he?
Centre forward.
Yeah. Or he certainly was. Someone's about to tweet and embarrass me and tell me that he left last week and I've not realised it. But yeah, there we go.
That's his knowledge though.
Derek Brown or whoever it was.
Good player.
Right, Hugh, remind us of your teaser, please.
Okay, so excluding the players who are currently at the club, there have been 5 African internationals who have played for There have been 5 players.
Don't know why you just stopped. Just keep talking. Don't you worry about me.
Because my mic cut out.
No, it didn't. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. And now you're still doing it.
Excluding players currently at the club, there have been 5 African internationals who have played for Rangers since season 2010. 2011, name them.
There are actually 6, right? So,
yes!
Classic.
Hugh's not happy.
Someone's going to need to fix the Twitter because it says on there 5. So, we're looking for 6. Yeah. But anyway, and it doesn't include the current ones. So, let's do some wrong answers, Hugh. Nizzy has gone for Kerkar.
Nope.
Remember him, Kerkar?
Yeah, he's not on the list. What else have we got on there? Darren has gone for the likes of Dean Furman.
No, you're just
a bit off on the time frame there, that's all. But these are decent enough guesses. What else have we got on there? Yeah, by the way, most of you are getting close. Just a few out on the time frame. A few again. There's GJ going for Kerkar. Big Billy's gone for Big Riamana. He's not on your list, is he?
No, he's not.
He's not there as well. Okay, keep your guesses coming. I'm looking for six answers on that. My apologies. Six answers at Clyde SSB. See if you can tweet them in quicker than everyone.
I think I've got
else.
Four myself, Gordon. Now that these two have
not helped
me
out.
Wait a minute. Well, what did you help me with? Oh no, sorry. I think I got three myself. Alex got one. So I'm a team player there.
Aye.
I've got one up my sleeve, but I just want the glory.
Does he play for Bowness?
No. Played Rangers.
Still no goals to tell you about at Aberdeen, Hibs or Hearts Dundee. A few moments ago, Ben Woodburn had a shot wide for Hearts. Griffiths had hit the bar with a volley, but he was offside anyway. Ryan Hedges a while ago, a deflected shot past Matt Macy. So that's pretty much all to tell you about at the moment. So not a great deal going on there. Remember, Dundee United, Motherwell kicked off a bit late. One of those strange days where both teams are wearing their away strips. It's disturbed a traditionalist like Fraser Wishart. He's not happy about that at all. Although that's sort of black away effort, but that's nice. Is that on the Christmas list?
Yeah, I like the look of that. I think that would suit that, especially the physique now. I've got to say, I detected a little bit of a sore throat there coming from Mr. Wishart. Was I not the only one there?
Last night, maybe.
I just hope that he doesn't lose his voice up there, because he said he promised his goal.
Well, there was an early chance for Motherwell. Sean Goss got on the end of a Tony Watt cross, but it was a good save by Benjamin Segrist. Mark Wilson, the locals won't like this. Brechin City 0, Haddington Athletic 1 in the Scottish Cup.
Oh wow.
Gone downhill since you left.
I think that's a step forward, actually, that result since I left. But just at Tynecastle, big day for Hearts, because start so well, and you know it's all great. You know, you're 10 games into the season, or 9 games into the season, you've started great. The pressure, the expectation of your fans goes up automatically. You beat Celtic, you go away to Ibrox, you draw. And this game, I'm sure everybody inside Tynecastle or think Hearts are going to come out and just walk it. But that's a different pressure you need to deal with. So
similar at Celtic, I guess, where you've gone and won these so-called difficult away venues, Pittodrie and Firth Park, and you win a European game. Go and do the bread and butter job of beating St Johnstone at home, and with 20 minutes gone, it's fine. There's not a great deal in the game, but I'm sure that big expectant crowd, Alex, would have been wanting just a little bit more. As another pass, I think, did that go through the legs of Kyogo?
Yeah, it seemed as if it was slightly behind him, Gordon. But I actually can see signs now that they're actually getting the overloads in the middle of the park. You know, you've seen Callum McGregor break from the middle, and it was just the final ball. The one thing you can say about St Johnstone, because they play with the three and then another one with the two wing backs, it becomes very condensed, and you can't get balls played down the side.
Furuhashi, without question, is less of a threat when moved out wide.
It's 20 minutes.
I don't have time for that.
Make the change here.
I take the view that he's had 20 minutes proving that his power is diminished by having to play out wide.
I wish I could turn back time. He would be there, United manager, and have used my system. Get him off.
If you have a point of view, express it.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic are starting to press a bit more down to the byline crossing. I think Rogic couldn't quite get the purchase on a header. He was maybe up a little bit too early.
When the fans phone here at 5 o'clock and say Furuhashi loses all his power, you'll all be jumping on top saying, yes, I agree
with
you.
Did Furuhashi not play wide in one of the 6-0s that Celtic won earlier this season?
Gordon, the actual play you mentioned about
that was against
Rogic.
Him,
yeah, it was against him. And Rogic, the boy Yota, down searches the byline and just stands it up lovely for Tom Rogic.
He's got a bit of both, because he obviously plays there to primarily come in on the right foot and get shots away and thread passes. But you're going to have to do that, because people know what you're trying. So this time he goes,
he's a nightmare
down the outside and stands
Mark
up with
obviously
his left.
Mark's a fullback. It must have been a nightmare to play with a guy who can go both ways, but he's equally comfortable going. You know, for me, I think Rogic should be a lot more aggressive there.
Here's Kyogo, brilliant work down the right hand side. He looks so comfortable on the wing as he cuts it back, and no one takes the chance.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
That was his teammates.
Exactly.
I thought that was good play with him there. I've got to say, you've got to look at the backup from the Celtic midfield. And
it's one of those I was expecting. expecting someone to arrive actually so was from the edge of the box.
And the other question is, where was Giakoumakis exactly?
Well, he's across the front. You're looking for midfielders, aren't you, to come from that sort of deeper.
I think with Jota, when we were speaking about a moment ago, how's a nightmare to face. He can go inside and outside. Celtic had a winger quite similar, Patrick Roberts, a couple of years ago, and they had the opportunity to push the boat out and get him. The Celtic fans loved him. He produced almost every game he played, and they opted not to go for him. In one way or another, if that was Patrick Roberts' idea, they didn't go back
in
for
him. When he came back, was that, remind me, that wasn't quite as productive as his first spell,
no,
was it?
No, but you could quite clearly see he still had enough to be in Celtic starting 11 most weeks, and it didn't happen. They've got a guy now who I know
penalty Ross County chance to go 2-0 up on Livy. Max Stryek saves it.
Wow, that's a draw. That's a draw.
His face is
melt. Hugh, Max Stryek's one of your favourite goalies because he's either pulling off world class saves and saving penalties, or he's making big mistakes. He's always involved in the thick of things.
I was just thinking the Aberdeen situation could be even worse for Stephen Glass were it not for Max Stryek, because you remember when Aberdeen beat Livingston at Livingston, it's 1-1, the game's seconds away from being over, and he absolutely throws the ball into his net. It was a horrific mistake, but for that, Aberdeen would be 2 points worse off than they already are.
Hearts are starting to press now. Woodburns had a shot saved from 10 yards. Liam Boyce then hits the bar from a header, or from Michael Smith's corner. Hits the bar, so Hearts getting closer.
Yeah, we'd expect that as well, Gordon. It's just a matter of time before they ramp up the pressure on Dundee. But going back to Ross County, that what an opportunity to try and secure.
Especially when you're going for your first win, Alec. That gives you a little bit of a breathing space at home. 2-0 up, playing with a bit of confidence. That could come back to haunt them.
Iota tries a shot there, but unlike Iota, it goes miles over the bar. He normally hits the bar or it goes into the net, but at least he's trying to be direct. I still think 24 minutes in, it's an open, even game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's credit to St Johnstone. It's actually just like a good game all round, Mark, because you can see Celtic are now coming into it for sure. And I say coming into it, that's selling it short. They're dominating now. Yeah. It's taken on the kind of shape that you would expect. It was just early on St Johnstone had a bit more about them going forward.
Yeah, but when you look at the season and how St Johnstone started the season, when they went away in Europe and they played this way, they soaked up a lot of pressure and got results, you know, by hitting on the counter attack. It's exactly the way they're wanting to do it this afternoon, and the game's taking on that shape. So it's important that while Celtic are obviously pouring bodies forward and trying to get the opener, they just need to watch what they're doing at the back, because St Johnstone have got players capable of going up the other end pretty quickly and causing trouble.
I think St Johnstone have got a good game plan. They're obviously crowding the middle of the park. They're making it difficult for Celtic to play through. They're saying, right, okay, if you're going to undo us down the flanks, we'll defend the ball coming in the box. You look at Celtic there with the possession they've got, you're right, Gordon, they're dominating the game so far, but they've not really created anything worthwhile just now. But if you keep this pressure up and you keep passing the ball with the quality Celtic have got, they'll eventually open you up.
Airdrie 1, Dumbarton 1. The Suns have equalised. Ross McLean with the goal there.
I always get the impression, Gordon, when Celtic, you know, St Johnstone are taking the game to Celtic, that they actually look more vulnerable because they're throwing men at it. And the way that they break Celtic middle to front is really impressive.
Yeah, Stirling Albion are 1 up in the cup as well on Berwick. Dylan Mackin with the goal down there at Shieldfield Park. So the goals are going in the Scottish Cup. We could just do with a few more in the top flight. Are we going to get one at Celtic Park or at Pittodrie? Tannadice, remember, started a bit later on. Tynecastle's a huge game as well. I was really looking forward to today's football. Don't be a letdown. Don't give us drab nil-nils. We need action, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, well, if Celtic Park is any gauge, then it comes to life gradually. Another cross from Celtic there, but it's overcooked by Anthony Ralston. The game is clearly going to need time to come alive, and that is also the case at Pittodrie, at Tynecastle, and at Tannadice.
A reminder of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Excluding the players who are currently at the club, there have been half a dozen African internationals who have played for Rangers since season 2010-2011. Who are they?
Yeah, so we're looking for six on there. And remember, just in case, there's a couple. I think there's one in particular. We tend to do football nationality here. So there's one in particular that jumps out that was not born in Africa, but went on to represent an African country. So that's worth bearing in mind. Let me see what other wrong answers we can get out of the way. Christopher Wren has thrown in Mark Wilson's old pal, Daniel Kuzan.
Not there.
He's not on the list.
Ooh,
okay.
Golden.
Ooh, now this is a big one. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Aberdeen 1, Hibs 0. It's Christian Ramirez, summer signing, the man from the US of A. He has got the opener in 27 minutes. Aberdeen 1, Hibs 0. What a big goal that is.
Darkest before the dawn. And so it has proved to be. It's a huge goal. It gives Aberdeen impetus. It gives them something to hold on to. It gets the crowd on their side instead of chanting for the manager to go. It is exactly what Stephen Glass needs. He now has to hold on to it or increase it.
See, as much as you say, Hugh, and it is a massive game for Aberdeen, right?
Yeah.
If Motherwell had to win today and Hibs lose, they're dropping like a stone.
Hibs, two wins in the last six, I think it is.
Yeah, they're not showing good form at all. I think you've gone too early. I think there'll still be more goals than that for Roger Hanna at Pittodrie. Hibs certainly have got the firepower to come back into it. But you're right, I think it gives Aberdeen a little bit of that breathing space. Look, because if Hibs take the first goal, the stands wouldn't be too happy.
Really good goal actually. Scott Brown winning the ball, lifted the pass to Ramsey. He takes a touch and cross, and then a first time finish from Christian Ramirez. So a lot to like about it if you're Stephen Glass. Not so much though if you're Jack Ross. And all of a sudden, especially with a defeat today, Hibs' good start to the season becomes a not so good start, really. Yeah. If you look at after 10 games, if Hibs were to lose this, it's an okay start and probably nothing more.
Well, he had a real go at his players last week, Jack Ross.
The worst version of ourselves, didn't he?
Selfish, he called them. So he can't be very happy with that. But if you think I'm giving up my darkest before the dawn line, you're mad. I'm going for a BAFTA award.
Booking for Craig Halkett. He wipes out Lee Griffiths on the break and goes into the book there.
Yeah, there's a booking for Cammy McPherson. This one also, Jota was going down the left hand side, tried to go to ground, and no doubt about it, it was a yellow card.
Yeah, I mean, half hearted penalty of claims, not even that. Giakoumakis goes down, but really it's just a good
went the other way. Yeah, I think Giakoumakis
has it. Right, hold on, one more of these. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Ross County 1, Livingston 1. Bruce Anderson has equalised for Livy, former Aberdeen Hamilton Accies man. He has pulled Livy level.
When you're down there and you don't take your opportunities, that always seems to come back and bite you. I've been down there with Dundee United in relegation battles, and you feel the pressure even at this early stage of the season, and you kind of get a win and things like that happen. You get a penalty, you miss it, you feel the world's against you. And Ross County, that's the case at the minute, and they've conceded.
Yeah, relegation battles as a player and a manager, Mark, it must have been a hard career.
Well experienced. Both ends of the table, does.
Yeah, but Ross County, you never write off Livingston. Never. But I'm still confident of my prediction with Ross County.
Hold on. Never write off Livy. You tipped Ross County at the start.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm still.
So you're writing off Livy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
You would say so. How's your week been actually, now that your newfound fame? I mean, you're the most famous person I know, but I feel like you were elevated to new levels after the Squid Game likeness last week. Player 001.
That's
all everyone was willing to talk about.
Exactly. I think the likes went over 250,000 at one point, I think.
Seriously?
So.
Well, the views, yeah, views.
Yeah.
Have you been playing with your marbles?
Well, my my wife has been lecturing me on the subject of wearing the tracksuit top. You know, she's not sure if this is good behaviour from an elderly gent.
It's Halloween, we're not expecting you to.
Yeah, next Saturday.
Do
next
your shopping
Saturday, he's got to, you've got to come in with the green tracksuit.
Halloween.
Can you buy a Squid Game tracksuit?
Oh, you can buy anything these days. You truly can.
Yeah.
Well, we'll need to get that organised then.
Honestly, it's a phenomenon. So my wife very rarely, well, I would say never listens to this show. She's fed up listening to me, clearly. Never listens. But she was delighted because and this is a phrase that should worry everyone, her favourite delivery driver. Now that just shows the amount of online shopping that this woman does,
good,
right?
Bill.
Seriously.
I hope it is,
yeah, well, exactly. came to the door the other night with probably the 14th parcel of the day, right? That seems to be the way it is. And said, you just got mentioned on Super Scoreboard because you're watching Squid Game. And that's all people, like, there was no mention of the football or whatever. Yeah. But because we had mentioned that this clown in the corner had ruined it for me, yeah, by giving it away last week.
Did you see punchline? No, I haven't seen it yet, so don't tell me the punchline.
Well, he did on air last week. How unacceptable is that?
It was a slip of the tongue that didn't really matter.
Yeah, one of your traits.
140 million people or something like that has watched it, and for the rest of the population, Daz ruined it.
Good point though from Roger Hanna, who says, and this all applies to you two here in the middle, if you can buy a Breakin tracksuit, you can buy a Squid Game tracksuit.
Haven't I told you I met the guy who bought the Breakin trackie?
Well,
the original,
bought half of it.
The other half.
Well, you just bumped into him?
No, I was away the AR26 delivering a session, and one of the parents came up. I'm the guy. I'm the guy who bought it from the charity shop.
He didn't have it on, did he?
He certainly didn't. No, so yeah, small world.
Small world, honestly. Berwick have equalised. That would be a bit of a cup shock, I guess. They've now dropped out of the SPFL. Aidan Denham's equalised against Stirling Albion. By all accounts, Motherwell enjoying some decent... Oh, hold on, we've got a goal at Celtic Park.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
And it's a first in green and white hoops for Georgios Giakoumakis. It's a cross from Anthony Ralston, the big Greek striker, as he's often known on this show, with the finish. And with 34 gone, it's Celtic 1, St Johnstone 0.
Well, if it's your first start for the club and it's a near full house, you really want to do what he has just done. You want to get a goal in the bag. So for Giakoumakis, we can have a debate. And it's a good finish too. Very astute, predatory finish. You want that goal.
Yeah. We always do try and do credit first, because yes, we'll get to St Johnstone in a minute. But credit to Celtic. That's a good cross and a good finish, so there's a lot to like about it.
Yeah, Ralston nice and controlled when he gets into that area. And if you just watch Giakoumakis' movement, he goes to go forward. The St Johnstone defender buys it. He just holds his position in the middle of the goal. And it's a very good finish, because it's coming across at quite a pace. He just diverts in. Very good goal.
I think Ralston's brilliant.
It's a good finish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Ralston does absolutely brilliant, Gordon. That's a hard technique, and he guides that. He could easily put that over the bar or put it by the post. He controls that. He guides that with instep, and it's a real top.
Ralston's ball is good, Alex, yeah, because it's coming down. So he catches it on the half volley, but keeps a nice height on it and doesn't fire it too much, but gets just a nice amount of pace that allows Giakoumakis to guide it into the corner.
He manages to control it really well, Gordon, and the ball across the face. But I agree with the guys. I thought Giakoumakis very composed, you know, because it's not an easy chance. It's come at some pace, and he just guides it back where it came from. And you look back, we obviously look at the other side. The boy McCart has totally mistimed the ball.
I thought it was Callum Booth, but
it might
have
been Booth. Yeah, anyway, but it's when Booth threw it back, but it's a mistake by him.
Yeah, I said we do credit first. If you're Callum Davidson, you're going to Celtic Park, you know it might be tough. Oh, hold on, this is a big goal.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
Hearts 1, Dundee 0, and it's John Souter, the man whose contract is up at the end of the season. We had a caller last night wanting Rangers to go and sign him. He's very much a Hearts player at the moment, and he has put Hearts in front. And this is maybe why people like John Souter, because he's a centre half and he's just curled one in from 20 yards. And it's not a header, it's not a set piece. Yeah. He's always had great ability.
He's got good qualities, Gordon. As you rightly say there, he's obviously killed us one in. He scored against Celtic with a header late on in the early part of the season. Plus he can play, he's got decent pace. The only reservations about it would be his Achilles injuries. I think he's done both ankles, but with the medical technology today, he could be a good addition.
Can't argue with you, Alex. I think he's a terrific player, I really do. The boy's been unfortunate with injuries, but he's a very, very good player. I think he's got everything in his locker. Good defender, good in the air, good with the ball at his feet, and obviously can get a goal. So there'll be a lot of clubs looking at him. Hearts will be desperate to get him to.
I think you'll see John Souter go down south. I know there'll be interest from Rangers, there might be interest from Celtic. I think he's destined for down south. The way he plays, the way he would fit in down there, very comfortable on the ball. Alex touched on it, pace. To go down south, you need to be that. You need to be comfortable on the ball, but have pace to get you out of situations against these top strikers, and he's got it.
But when you're in Hearts' position, and your centre half is curling them in from 20 yards, that tells you about the spirit within the dressing room, the confidence on the park, and right now they are loving their lives.
And there we sit. I said I would pick out that the highlights from the Scottish Cup. I mentioned Darvel, first ever season in the Scottish Cup. They're at Stranraer and they're 1-0 up. Jordan Allen with the goal for Darvel.
Yeah. Ex Dundee United, I think. Ex Morton.
I coached Jordan that lad.
Jordan Allen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I coached the boy.
Yeah. Big result. Throw a few quid at it. And
is that why he's now juniors?
He's regressed dramatically.
I don't think he's funny, come back.
It's like Thursday night all over.
Because he was expecting the credit because he scored in the Scottish Cup. He's thinking, great, I can take credit for that.
I think that's a poor bit of criticism of the boy.
And they're not called juniors anymore.
Exactly,
remember.
Semi-professional. And the boy's working very hard at his game now that he's turned 36.
Here we go. Here's a maybe a four goal thriller. Cowdenbeath Hugh. This is when you know it's Scottish Cup day. Yeah. Cowdenbeath 2, Civil Service Strollers 2.
One of
the
great names in Scottish football, Civil Service Strollers. So corned beef, we'll have to get the finger out.
Have we not got a super scoreboard strollers coming up? The boys?
Yeah, charity match. Yeah. Against, we're piecing it together. AR26.
0-0-1's your manager.
Is it your charity?
My charity. Yeah,
it's not yours. It's Andy Roberts' charity.
What? As long as you know the manager.
Oh, it's, well, as I'm taking the credit for his charity. It's Andy Robertson's charity.
It's not yours.
What are you saying about me? A manager? As long as I'm not
a
manager.
0-1's a manager.
All right.
I don't fancy your chances. A bunch of young football coaches against you.
Well, Alex, you know, still got a bit left in the legs yourself, but I don't fancy your striker who's standing left of me.
Plenty in the tank.
He spends every week on this show saying how he hates football and he's never played since he retired, and now he expects to just turn up and. Do you own football bits?
No. Well, sort of.
What do you mean?
I don't really know if I own football boots, but I'll go with my tracky bottoms.
You're
on.
Hold on.
My trainers. Let me. Happy days.
I refuse to play in your team if you're going to wear tracky bottoms playing.
It's not. I don't care. This is true. In my career, I never trained without tracky bottoms.
What?
I always wore tracky bottoms.
You played in the 80s and 90s, so did you have the big baggy tracky bottoms with the socks?
Yeah, the top.
Did you have the shorts on top of the joggy bottoms?
No, I never went that far. But I always wore, because it makes sense. You've got to keep the blood warm in the legs.
Well, this is 2021, and I can assure you, you are not welcome in our team if you wear tracky bottoms.
Gordon, when you see me,
because they won't
play,
even be good tracky bottoms. They'll still be those big baggy ones, won't they?
Yeah, the big cotton numbers. Yeah,
the hungry goalkeeper, was that? Remember him? The grey tracksuit bottoms.
When you see me in that opposition sees me strolling out there with number 9 on my back,
they'll probably be laughing so much that they won't be able to play.
I will strike fear into them.
I like your tactics.
Wear a Wraith Rover strip, please. Have you still got any?
I'll tell you one strip I won't be wearing is a Scotland one. I got fat shamed in because I hadn't slept for months.
Hugh, what else is happening at Celtic Park?
Well, it's now about Celtic that they look to be trying to get the points sewn up by half time if they can. But St Johnstone defending resolutely. Anthony Ralston had another good run, but it ended in a Xander Clark save with Tom Rogic asking where the pass to him was. So at the moment, Celtic have come to life because of Giacomakis' goal. I wouldn't say it was an inspired performance. I would say it's an efficient performance. And what they need is to be one goal better off than St Johnstone. And at the moment, that's what they are.
It's a great start for Giacomakis, coming into the starting lineup today. It gets some minutes under his belt as well. It looked actually quite impressive in midweek, Gordon. You know, he made a good impact.
To be fair, they're controlling the game now. St Johnstone had a good start, but Celtic are, especially in the middle of the park, McGregor, Turnbull, Rogge, their movement's good, they're controlling it. St Johnstone, every player behind the ball. So they're making it difficult. But I just think if this pattern of play keeps up, then I think Celtic will eventually get the second goal.
It's amazing that when you're a striker like Giacomakis, it's only one position where if you come in and done decent but probably didn't score today and you were taking off maybe 70 odd minutes, you'd get criticised. Even if you had a good game, any other position on the park, yeah, he had a good game, no problem about that, and he'll grow into it. But striker, Daz always says that you're judged in goals and straight away. So, you know, it's a weight off your shoulders. First start and get
goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
Ross County 1, Livingston 2. Odin Bailey puts the visitors ahead. Gordon DL's Ross County prediction not looking great.
Who's the county playing next week?
I can't remember right now. Why are you putting me on the spot?
Because I'm going to predict them. I think my prediction's up already.
Yeah, Alec, so if you look at that sheet there, you'll see that against Ross County Livingston, I have an A for away.
You did, yes.
Are we all paying attention here to 0-0-1?
That penalty kick, I think Mark touched on it earlier. That penalty kick really would be a big disappointment for them.
Big turning point.
Yeah, 2-0 up.
Dundee next week does.
Yeah, they won that one. 2-0 up, but all credit, you can't
Hugh,
write Livingston off.
Round off this
okay
teaser.
The first half teaser with Sunday's Scottish Sun. Free goals, pull out, plus Davy Province, Frank and Fearless column.
Excluding those players who are currently at the club, there have been six African internationals who have played for Rangers in season 2010-2011. They are Majid Bugera.
Yes.
Sonny Aluko.
No.
Bilal Moshni.
Yes.
Lasana Koulibaly.
Yes.
And
well done, Daz.
Elhaj Diouf.
Yep.
And Zungu.
You get him? Yes, he was the recent one.
Zungu,
he was
yes
the sixth.
Yes.
Well done. Well done, the guys in the studio. Well done if you got that right. Thank you for taking part. A good response to that one. As always, I can tell you the podium looks like this. In third place, we had Michael Smith. Well done to you, Michael. Thomas Agnew in second place. And the winner of the first half teaser is Jay McCormick. Well done, Jay. We've got a Who Am I for after the break. And I really like this one. A really good Who Am I. So stay tuned for that one. Right, any late drama? I don't think so. I'm seeing some more Scottish Cup goals in the Championship, for instance. Partick Thistle nil, Dunfermline nil. Edinburgh City have just equalised on the stroke of half time against Bowness in the Scottish Cup. Declan Gallagher has been forced off, injured for Aberdeen. Matty Longstaff has come on, so a bit of a reshuffle.
Very interested to hear Roger Hanna at half time, both on Aberdeen's performance, which has put them a goal up, and also, is this the worst of Hibs again? The selfish Hibs? Interesting.
Do you know what though? Obviously it's results driven, so you get where people are coming from. But speaking to Andy Halliday, who was on the show, he said he felt Aberdeen were actually really good against Hearts. And you know, they have had a lot of possession, they have had a lot of shots. So maybe, as Dave Cormack said, it was a matter of time before something clicked. Anyway, it's half time at Celtic Park. Let's speak to Andrew McLean.
Celtic 1, St Johnstone 0, the half-time score at Celtic Park, and it's a strike from Yorgos Yakimakis that has the home side ahead in this one. St Johnstone actually had a pretty bright start to the game, but 10 minutes in it was Celtic that had the first meaningful chance. A well-worked corner led to Callum McGregor having space at the edge of the box. His low strike was saved well by the foot of Xander Clark. Yota had been lively out on the left in the early exchanges, was causing problems cutting in and going to the byline. A few of his crosses into the box hadn't been met by teammates, so he decided to have a go himself 23 minutes in, but he blasted that one over the bar. Yorgos Yakimakis had been pretty quiet in the opening half an hour or so, but sparked himself into life by getting on the score sheet. A mistake at the back from St Johnstone allowed Anthony Ralph to fire a ball across the box. The Greek striker was there in the 6-yard box, and he did well to direct it into the back of the net for his first Celtic goal. The home side dominating the ball, but Callum Davidson's side aren't quite out of this one yet. The half-time score at Celtic Park, Celtic 1, St Johnstone 0.
So half-time whistle starting to go round the country then. There won't be one at Tannadice because we were a bit behind there. It has gone at Tynecastle though. David Friel.
Half-time, Gordon, Hearts 1, Dundee 0, and Hearts are halfway to the Premiership Summit thanks to John Souter's wonder strike. You really need to see this goal. Rob Nielsen's side will go top with the win. I've had too much for Dundee so far, who have had 10 men behind the ball for most of the half. Hearts have found it hard to break them down, to be honest, so they couldn't find space early on, so they started trying to look from distance. Ben Woodburn fired wide from 20 yards and also blazed one over the bar. Dundee had a really decent break in 22 minutes. Luke McCown, really gifted young player, he had a low shot saved by Craig Gordon. but Hearts immediately upped their game and came close twice. Woodburn's low shot was saved by Adam Legends, and Liam Boyce then hit the bar with a header from the resulting corner. Hearts got a wee bit frustrated. Craig Halkett and Ben Woodburn both went into the book for naughty challenges, really, but the breakthrough came in 37 minutes when Woodburn passed back to Souter 20 yards out. He didn't even need a touch, he just stepped onto it and curled a magnificent shot into the top corner as Tynecastle erupted. So as things stand, Hearts are on the way to the top of the table. Half time at Tynecastle, Hearts 1, Dundee 0.
Where else can we go then? We can't go to Tannadice yet. Are we done at Pittodrie? Let me double check. I'm not sure we are, because there was that delay and the injury. And by the way, Scott Brown has gone to centre half. I did say there would be a reshuffle, and I wondered about, you know, Matty Longstaff coming on. I mean, he's got the experience to handle it, Alex, but it's not ideal.
No, but I think with his experience, I think he'll be beside Bates. I think he's in the team today, Gordon, and he'll hope to try and get through a match. If I was Jack Ross, I'd be saying to myself, this guy's not familiar with that position. Let's get him chased down the sides, use your pace in behind, because the one thing that Scott doesn't have now is good legs.
It's maybe one that if you had, and maybe a lot of Hibs' problems are down to this, if Christian Doidge was fit, that could be one, you know, you stick him right on aerial challenges and stuff, but... maybe don't quite have that threat. We're just saying, Mark, your old teammate Scott Brown, centre half now, because Declan Gallagher's gone off injured.
Yeah, I think I'll suit him okay, unless he's, like you guys are saying there, unless he's playing against an out and out target man. But Scott is familiar dropping into the positions. I think he's experienced enough to know how to play that position. It also gives him a better view, if you like, of what's in front of him, that he can pull people into position. And it's a position that I played, you know, it's probably easier to control what's in front of you than if you're fullback or midfield. So Scott, I think, will be well suited to it.
So it's half time at Celtic, Hugh, just before we check in at the likes of Pittodrie and elsewhere. Celtic will be happy with that opening half's work.
Yeah, you know, Giamakis has scored, and that is good for him. He will feel that's his Celtic career off and running. But I wouldn't say that the first half performance has been dazzling. It's been sufficient. I think that Furuhashi has been seldom seen in the game. And when he has been seen, his distribution of the ball has not been the greatest at all times. It's a conundrum for Ange Postecoglou, because Furuhashi, midweek, does what Furuhashi does. Stuck the ball in the net and with aplomb. But he has not had a single shot at goal. Celtic have only had two shots at goal. One was saved by the feet of Xander Clark. That came from Callum McGregor. And the other one was from Giakoumakis. And that was the goal of the first half.
If it works, it works. You know, if we're standing here 0-0, and I take your point, and you say, well, look, is it a mistake? But Ange Postecoglou has put Giakoumakis through the middle and he's scored. So that's the most important thing.
It's a very loaded argument as well, because Abada might have played and been quiet. You know, it's just Celtic win the game, they win
Gordon,
the game.
For me, I said earlier on, Giakoumakis is going in there to get minutes as well. The fact that he scored the opening goal, I think Celtic are very comfortable. You get the odd little foray up the park by St John's. I don't even think Hearts had touched the ball. So for me, Celtic are comfortable.
Let's go to Pittodrie. It's half time now. Roger Hanna.
Aberdeen 1, Hibernian 0 at the break. Christian Ramirez's terrific goal midway through the half has put Stephen Glass on course for a first win in 11 games. It's no more than a deserve. They really have grasped this game and they've pushed Hibs back from the first whistle. So Ryan Hedges had a deflected shot from 20 yards after 11 minutes, pushed out by Hibs goalkeeper Matt Macy. Calvin Ramsey then had a cross held by Macy at the second attempt as three Aberdeen players waited to pounce on the loose ball on the 6-yard line. But the breakthrough came after 27 minutes and it was a terrific goal. Captain Scott Brown won the ball in the centre circle. He lifted a pass over to the near side, the Aberdeen right, to Calvin Ramsey. He took a touch, he fired in a cross, and a brilliant first time finish by the American striker Ramirez for his fifth league goal of the season. Aberdeen suffered a blow moments later. Young Ramsey, the Scotland under 21 right back, limped off with Johnny Hayes coming on. The versatile Funso Ojo moving over to right wing back. Darren McGregor then booked for taking down Marley Watkins as Aberdeen pushed for a second goal, but it did have to be careful at the other end as Hibs finally awoke as an attacking force. Lewis Stevenson making progress on the left, his cross, Martin Boyle shot deflected just wide of the recalled Joe Lewis's left hand post. More defensive disarray for Aberdeen moments later. Declan Gallagher limping off with Matty Longstaff coming on to the centre midfield and Scott Brown dropping into the middle of the three man defence in between Ross McCrory and David Bates. That will be a real loss for Aberdeen in the engine room, because Brown was bossing the game. He could even have done it in the Dazzlers tracky trousers and trainers winners, I'm sure. 44 minutes, Watkins flashed another shot inches wide of the far post as Aberdeen looked to extend their lead. Longstaff then booked for taking down Paul McGinn, but it really has been a first half that would lift the spirits in the Granite City. Hibs are on course for a third straight defeat. The Dons are on course for redemption. Aberdeen 1, Hibernian 0.
And there's only one game still going, so not a great deal of mystery where this one is.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
And it's for the home side. Dundee United 1, Motherwell 0. Ryan Edwards on 35 minutes. A back post header from a brilliant Charlie Mulgrew right footed cross. He skins someone, gets to the touchline, and crosses it with his right foot for Ryan Edwards to hit. I don't know.
I don't know Charlie Mulgrew. I don't think I've ever seen him kick the ball with his right foot. But Dundee United for Tam Courts, it just keeps getting better and better. What a result that will be.
Yeah, we'll do a full roundup of the halftime scores next.